Today's daf is Samach Vav. We're going to start right at the top. B'mai kamiflagei tana debei Rav, v'tana debei Rav Yishmael. Okay, we saw two brightot yesterday. One was at the bottom of Samach Amud Aleph, right where the lines get wide. Et ele mehem tochlu et ha'arbeh, arbeh ze govai, salam ze rashon, chargol ze nipol, chalgav ze gdian. Matar malomer lemineu 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 arba pamim lavit zipor kramim v'yochani Yerushalmi v'arutzun arutzuvia v'haraz banit. Okay, so that was the first version. That's what we call Tana Debei Rav. Why do we call it Tana Debei Rav? It's a safra, which is a midrash halacha. It's also known as Torat Kohanim because it's a midrash halacha on Sefer Vayikra, which makes sense because we're darshaning the psukim in Vayikra. And it was attributed, they call it the Tana Debei Rav, which is interesting because Rav's not a Tana. Usually it's Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael or Tana Debei Rabbi Akiva or something like that. But some people actually attribute it to Rabbi Chiya and not to Rav. Or it's attributed to Rav. Rav is often known as having a Tana status because he's right at that in-between. He was also known as the Talmud of Rabbi Chiya, so maybe because of that. Anyway, that's referred to as the Tana Debei Rav. Okay, then we saw the Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, which was the next source, which did the Klal Upratu Klal. Okay, so then they said Arbe Ze Govai, Lemino is Lavi Tziporet Kramim. And then we said Ein Lo Ela Hababa Ein Lo Gabachad, and then we had that whole list. We had the Gabachad. It has a Gabachad. It doesn't have a Gabachad. Right. In each case, brought an additional issue, whether it was Ein Lo Gabachad, then Yesh Lo Gabachad, meaning right, it's not bald or it is bald. Has a tail, it doesn't have a tail. And then at the end we said chargol. So remember there were a few differences also about which grasshopper is which. Chargol ze rashon lemineu laviet hakarsef evet hashachlanit. And then we said, we have this whole list, right? The gabacha, yesh, ein, zanav, ein. And then they said, what about rosho aroch? Remember, that was the whole debate, because none of these have a long head, and at least all the other issues came up in one of the types. So then they learned from the word chagav, that if it's called chagav, then even if it has a rosh aroch, it will be okay. Okay, that's what the chagav included. So now the question is, what's the root of the machloka between these two sources? So the difference is Birosho Aroch Kamiflage. The assumption is that they disagree about whether Rosho Aroch is kosher or not. Obviously, according to Debei Rabbi Yishmael, we just said it is. And since there's no mention of it in the first Braita, and the first Braita says specifically the types, remember they said Lemineu, and all that meant a particular type, and it didn't include any with Rosho Aroch. So Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael Savar Asher Lo Kra'ayim Klal. Right, that was the first part. That's a klal. It has, remember the first pasuk it mentioned, it says if it has these jumping legs, then it's kasher. Arbes salam chargol chagav, and the word leminehu. Interestingly, before we said leminehu, we said klal upratu klal. Do you remember we said there's the klal, the first pasuk, which is general, anything that has jumping legs. Then it goes into detail, and then we said with each detail afterwards it said leminehu, which was klal. So we had a klal upratu klal. But this one actually puts Liminehu as part of the cloud, because Liminehu means and anything like that, which seems to be specific. So therefore, the Safra darshins like this. So cloud is the Asher Lo Kra'ayim. Our best salam chargol chagav Liminehu is a prat, and therefore we only have a klalu prat. What is klalu? What's the difference between a klalu prat and a klalu pratu klal? A klalu pratu klal comes to say
it's a close list.
Well, a klalu prat is a closed list. Klalu prat means ein lanu ela masheva prat. But if you have a klalu prat and then a klal, then we come to include anything that's somewhat like the prat. And that's why we're going to include, in the Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, Udarshan's klalu prat to klal, we're going to include more things like the rosho aroch. But if you say klalu prat only, then you're going to say ein bechlal ela masheva prat. Demine in, delav demine lo. Right, so therefore, we're only going to have right umrabe didame la mishnei tzedim. Okay, they don't mean literally shnei tzedim here, but what they mean is, and when they rabe, when they include things in a klalu prat, the Tana Debei Rav, he's only going to include things that are like it b'shnei tzedim, which means it's like it almost entirely, right? Very, very similar. Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael Savar Asher Lo Kra'ayim Klal Arbe salam chargol chagav prat. Limineu chazar vekalal. Remember, the limineu is going to be a klal. Klalu pratu klal. Iatadan ela ke'en haprat. When you have a klalu pratu klal, right, it's only going to be like the prat. Umirabe kol dedame le bechad sad. As long as it's somewhat similar to it, then it's going to be fine. Vahalo dame klal. Okay, so that's it. So now, if you follow, if we say klal, prat, uklal, what are we going to say here? Klal uprat uklal is going to include anything that's somewhat like the prat, which is going to include rosho aroch. Why is rosho aroch similar? Because it might not be similar about its head, but it's similar because it has all the other four simanim. Remember the four legs, the four wings that cover the body, right? All those. It's similar in all those other ways, just not the rosho aroch. That's what we're going to call mitzad echad. Right, it's similar mitzad echad. But if you say klal uprat, then you're going to exclude the rosho aroch, because then you need something that's really similar to it, and that's not similar enough. Okay, that's the debate between them. So now they say, wait a minute. Umirabe v'halo dame klala kamala klala batra. When you have a klal upratu klal, if you want to, we're now asking about Rabbi Yishmael, who darshan's klal upratu klal, the klal and the other klal have to be similar to each other. We're going to have today a bunch of klal upratu klal, and we're going to have some questions about which cases can you really do a klal upratu klal. So today, we're going to start with this one, which is, There's a lack of, they're not exactly parallel, okay? Klala kama asher lo kraim amarachmana di lechol delet le letochol klala batra ad shavu ba'arba'a simanim. The first klal seems to say as long as it has these jumping legs, you can eat it. And the second klal limineu seems to say it has to be similar to it in the four criteria. So they seem to be not exactly the same, because one seems much more general. Like, as long as you have this, you can eat it. And the other one seems to say, well, it has to be with a bunch of criteria. So therefore, how can you use, right, it's like comparing apples and oranges, right? The klal and the klal are not exactly the same. So Tana d'Bei Rabbi Yishmael, b'klali uprata ki agavna da'in. Okay, this is not da'in, it's da'in. Da'in means they use it, right? They count this as a klal upratu klal. Udamrina nami ba'alma dedain tana debe Rabbi Yishmael b'chlali uprate ki agavna mehacha. This is very interesting. They say like this. They say the tana debe Rabbi Yishmael has no problem doing a klal upratu klal, even though the klalim are not exactly the same. And then they come and they tell you that, by the way, they say in many places that this is what the tana debe Rabbi Yishmael is, and they use their proof from here. And that's what it means. Ki agavna mehacha. They learn it when they say this in other places in Shas, their proof is from our case. Okay? This is used as the proof for the fact that Rabbi Tana d'Bei Rabbi Yishmael has no problem using a klal and another klal that are not exactly parallel to each other. Okay, Amar Mar. Now we're going back to the end of the Braita of the Tana d'Bei Rabbi Yishmael, where he talked about the chagav. Okay, so we said, okay, if you look at Samach HaAmud Bet in the middle toward the end, okay, it says, so we had Afkol Sheyesh Lo Arba Raglayim VaArba Kanafayim VaKartzulayim Kanafav Chofin Et Rubo VaLo Atzir Tzur. As we said, what about the cricket? Yesh Lo Arba Raglayim VaDalek Kanafayim VaKartzulayim Kanafav Chofin Et Rubo Yechol Yehei Mutar Talmud Lamar Chagav Sheshmo Chagav. It has to have the name Chagav, like a locust, and this doesn't. Then they say, wait a minute, Ishmo Chagav, if you're saying it has to be called a Chagav, and that's going to be enough, then Yachol Emo Kol HaSimanim Alalu. Maybe it could be, right, anything that's called a Chagav, even if it doesn't have Arba Simanim. Talmud Lamar Liminehu. So therefore they say, no, the word Liminehu comes to teach you, Ad Shiyehebo Kol HaSimanim Alalu. Liminehu comes to say it has to be similar to all the things in the list, which means it has to have the four Simanim. So now we're going to go in depth into this whole line of thinking. So, Amar Mar, Ishmo Chagav Yecholim Bokol HaSimanim Alalu, Talmud Lamar Lamineu. This is just a quote of what I just read. Anshu Bokol HaSimanim Alalu, Ein Bokol HaSimanim Alalu, Mehechatite. So now they say, wait a minute. If Ein Bokol HaSimanim Alalu, where were they even thinking of learning it from? Arbe b'chargol k'tiv. You can't assume just because it says chagav that anything that goes in the category of a chagav is going to be fine, because by doing that, you're basically ignoring the fact that earlier in the pasuk it listed specific types. So arben chargol, it already says. So now they say, e lo k'tiv sal'am kitakamarta. If you remember already, we said that arben chargol adds something, and sal'am doesn't really add anything, because sal'am added if it's bald. But chargol is also bald and also has a tail. So basically, from arben chargol, you could have gotten everything. So therefore, they said, if it just said arbe v'chargol, right? E lo k'tiv salam. If it didn't say salam, kidika amarta. You might have said, like you wanted to say, why? Hash d'dichtiv salam li ribuye rosho aroch. Ema. So now they're saying, remember if we said before, what is Sal'am coming to include? Since it's not including, right? There's, remember that was where we ended yesterday. Since Sal'am is unnecessary, it must be coming. We use the Imeinu Inyan. If it's not coming to teach about itself, since we could have already learned it from the others, therefore it must be coming to teach something else. What is that? Rosho Aroch. Remember, we're in Rabbi Yishmael, who thinks Rosho Aroch is included. So therefore, so Ema Lirbe Nami Koldehu. So therefore, you might have also suggested that maybe, since Sal'am is including things that weren't in the list, maybe it's coming to include anything that's called a chagav also. So therefore, they say here, Ka Mashmalan. Therefore, this drasha came to say, Limineu ad yubo kol simanim alalu. Right? The whole thing was, why would you even think that chagav could have meant you don't need the simanim? And the reason is because maybe Sal'am is coming to say, that you might have thought Sal'am is coming to teach you really anything, since imeinu inyan lezeh, tneu inyan, let's teach that not only Rosho Aroch, but all sorts of other things without having the simanim that we mentioned. Therefore, you need the word chagav to come teach you, therefore you need liminehu to teach you, it has to have simanim. Okay, don't think Sal'am is coming to include everything. Okay, last question before we move on to fish. Maishna hatam de amar salam ze rashon, chargol ze nipol. Umaishna hacha de amar salam ze nipol, chargol ze rashon. Remember we said it was flipped, but they each had it different versions. In Tanya de Rav it said one way, and in Tanya de Yishmael it said the other way, about the identification of each of these locusts. So now they answer, mar ki atre, umar ki atre. Okay, each one, in that they called it something else in different locations, right? They had different names for the same thing. So therefore, in one place where he was living, it was called one thing, and where he was living, it was called something else. Okay,
that's so interesting, because just a few lines ago, we learned that a chagav has to be called a chagav. So if names were universal, so to speak, here they're proving that names are not universal, and...
Well, again, there's the
locale.
Right. You could distinguish between what the Torah phraseology, because in other words, this is identifying what the Torah calls, as when the Torah refers to it as something, what we refer to it nowadays. Right? So you could say it's different, and chagav is also a more general. Chagav is really locust. It's a more general word. Also, I think a better answer could be just, you know, they got confused. Like we've said many times, ipuch, right? Switch it, and this says that, that says that. You can imagine that since they didn't know what the words in the Tanakh, in the Torah meant, so there was different masorot about this one's that, we're going to see the same thing. But snapir and kaskeset, okay, to us it's very clear. Kaskeset is scales, and snapir is fins. But you're going to see that in the Gemara, there was almost a bit of a debate about which word meant which, okay, which is very interesting, because they struggled with what exactly are these words. Okay, before we go on to Dagim, I just wanted to point out that if you look in the Torah, the order of Kashrut in Vayikra is, first we start with the Behema and the Chaya, then we go to the Dagim, then we go to the birds, then we go to the Shratzim and the grasshoppers. In the Mishnah, it's the same order except for the fish. The fish comes at the end, right? We started with Behemot, we went to Ofot, we went to grasshoppers, and now we're coming to fish. So it's interesting. I don't know. I don't have a good explanation, but I just wanted to point out that the Mishnah orders it in a different order than the Torah.
I still am very mystified why the Torah itself left out simanim for birds. Like, I just think that's really interesting.
Well, the Torah only, right, it gave simanim for fish, it gave simanim for animals, it didn't give simanim for locusts either, and it didn't give simanim. It didn't, so just the jumping legs it said, but it didn't say all the other ones that the rabbis darshan, right? And then it gave Arba and all that, and from there, so it partly gave one siman, which the rabbis claim is a lot more than just one, and that's also what gave way to the debates here about what are they exactly, is Rosh HaAroch included or not. It is interesting why the birds are not, don't get any simanim at all. It's a very good question. Okay. U'bedagim kol sheyesh lo snapir v'kaskeset. So fins and scales. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein lo achshav v'atid l'gadel l'achar zman. What if it doesn't have now, but it will down the road? Kigon hasultanit v'hafyan. Harei ze mutar. Okay, sultanit and afyan. Right, Rashi says sultanit min dagim k'tanim belaz tunina, which sounds like tuna. Okay, although we're going to see there's atinas later on, which they're going to say is really tuna or atunas. Again, the identification of these here, the Koran has, you pass it for a second, has some notes about what these are. The afyan they say are just, is a Greek term for a general word for small, it's from the Greek, and it's a general word for types of small fish. Some people think that the sultanit and the afyan are from the herring family, which have scales that grow with age. Okay, so let me keep this for a minute. Okay, so now we say this is exactly like we saw before with the locust, that if it's going to grow in time, it's okay. And yesh lo achshav va'atid lahashiran b'sha'ah she'oleh min ha'mayim, if it has now and it's going to shed it down the road when it comes out of the water. Kigon ukinas va'afunas kaspatias ve'achspatias ve'atunas hareze mutar. What?
That was impressive.
I tried. Okay, so here's a little bit from the Koran about the background about what these things are. So akunis, they say, is, they think it comes from the Greek kolios, which is the Italian chub mackerel. It's an ocean fish closely related to the tuna. It's often pickled or smoked. Atunas, they say, is tuna. Achsaftias, they say, is the swordfish, which they say here, which in recent decades has been the subject of many halachic disagreements, the swordfish. So there's a debate, you know, depending on how you define this, would affect whether you think this is kosher or not. Okay. They didn't say all of them, if you notice. The afunas, I think it didn't say, and the akunas, it didn't explain. Okay, so these are basically fish that shed its scales when they come out of the water. Those, since they had scales, it's also fine. Tanan hatam. Okay, now we're going to quote a Mishnah. Kol sheyesh lo kaskeset, yesh lo snapir. V'yesh sheyesh lo snapir, ve'ein lo kaskeset. Okay, so let's explain. Anything that has scales also necessarily has fins. But there's fish that have snapir, that have fins, but don't have kaskeset, don't have scales. Yesh lo kaskeset, v'yesh lo snapir. So if it has the scales and it also has fins, it's a dag tahor. Yesh lo snapir, but if it has the fins, ve'ein lo kaskeset, dag tamei. Okay? So basically, right? So it's saying two things, right? It has to have both. And there's two types, right? There's ones that have scales, which if it has scales, it definitely has fins. However, there are fish with fins that don't have scales. Okay? So now they say very obviously, michteach kaskeset kasamchinan. So according to this, if it has scales, it definitely has fins, which means it's definitely kosher, which means what? You could have just told us kaskeset. And then we would know, since kaskeset definitely has fins, then it's enough to just say kaskeset. So michteach kaskeset kasamchinan, lichtov rachmana kaskeset. Why did the Torah just say it needs to have kaskeset below lichtov snapir? So now they say, I katav rachmana kaskeset below katav snapir. This is fascinating. Hava amina my kaskeset snapir. you might have gotten confused as to what Kas Kesed and what Snapir is. So if it just said Kas Kesed of the Torah, you might have thought that that means fins and not scales. Now, why you would... Right, this is actually... I don't know if you have this, but we always think of fish with Snapir and Kas Kesed, but who remembers exactly which one is which, right? So they're saying that maybe you would get confused since people associate... It must be that there's some association. Since if you have Kas Kesed, you also have Snapir, maybe there's some... confusion, you know, they feel like people would get confused between if they have one term, now what would be the problem? So if kaskeset means scales, and scales means you have fins, but all it said in the Torah was one, people might have gotten confused and thought that the one was fins and not scales. Now why would people get confused? Because there's a masoret, right? Everyone knows that you need fins and scales. So therefore, if there was only one thing, and you know that most have both, but some have only one, but you know, how much do people really know about fish? So they think it needs one sign. They might have thought it needs the fins, and the fins don't necessarily have scales, and then you would end up eating non-kosher
fish. But this is a question
fish.
Of language.
Yeah.
Why
I said it's fascinating, because it means that people didn't really know what these terms meant. And if they said just kaskeset, people would have thought kaskeset maybe means fins, which is such a crazy assumption, because, again... You'd have to assume maybe they used different terminology in the time of the Gemara. Again, Aramaic was their main language, so they weren't as familiar with certain words in Hebrew. I mean, again, this seems like a pretty basic one, but...
Can't you then question any other word in the Torah? Like, if they're... Like I said, it's not like it's an unknown species.
Again, they're not questioning what exactly it means. They're questioning that people might confuse its meaning. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because people have a masoret, fins and scales... And therefore, in other words, since in most cases they go together, but some people just would get confused between it. I'm sure if you ask the average, again, in Hebrew, people in Israel, it's a little more obvious. First of all, like snapirin, kids use them in the, you know, in the swimming, or adults use them, you know, what do you call them in English now?
Flippers,
yeah. That's the word.
Kaskasim is dandruff,
yeah, right, because they flake off.
Yeah.
So, but if you know, really, Hebrew's not your common language, I could see, you know, you think of Sapir Kaskasim as one thing, you know, you could get confused which is which. So that's the assumption here, which is a very interesting one. Anyway, so now they say like this. And therefore, afilu dag tameh, kata brahmana, right, and then you would have machshir afilu dag tameh, right, you'd say it was kosher even if it really wasn't. And therefore, kata rachmana snapir v'kaskeset. And that's why they wrote both. So that you know it actually needs both, and then, you know, then you'd know. V'hashta kata rachmana snapir v'kaskeset, mimai de kaskeset levushahu. Now they start really questioning the language. So now that the Torah says both snapir and kaskeset, how do we know that kaskeset is actually scales and not fins? Okay? So in other words, they're questioning. They didn't really know the language. It's clear. Right? So now they say, Dichtiv, we have a different pasuk to prove it. Bishiryon kaskasim hu lavush. Okay, it's a pasuk from Shmuel Aleph. It's talking about kova nechoshet al rosho, right? This is the Te'ur of Goliath. He's wearing a kova nechoshet, Bishiryon kaskasim hu lavush. Now, since it says lavush, what do you wear? You wear fins or you wear scales? The scales are the lavush. It basically covers the body of the fish. So therefore, since it appears in the Tanakh, that's how we know, and it appears in a different context, and it's clear from there that it means scales, therefore, or lavush anyway, right? It doesn't actually mean scales, but maybe a scale-like armor he was wearing. So therefore, it's obvious that's how we know kaskeset means scales. So they say, wait a minute, now we can redo your whole argument. If it's clear from the Tanakh what kaskeset means, then what are we worried about people confusing it? Therefore, lichtav rachmana kaskeset, below lichtav snapir. Now it becomes clear that they're not so worried about the average person, they actually were really questioning what the word means, and it wasn't 100% clear. So they say, well, now that it's 100% clear, because we have a different pasuk in the Tanakh, then the Torah really could have just written kaskeset. So Amar Rabbi Avahu, B'chein Tana D'Bei Rabbi Yishmael. By the way, it's interesting because it's taking Nach, like Navi, and using it to say why, if we know the Navi uses this term, then the Torah could have used it, knowing that we know how to translate it based on the Navi. Obviously, the Torah came before the Navi. It's a very interesting kind of argument. So anyway, they answer totally differently now. It's not because people might have confused Kaskeset and not known what it is. The reason they brought both is to lahagdil limud Torah, understanding of Torah. Okay, this is a very strange phrase used here. Not so clear what it means. One of the interpretations is that the assumption is, you need fins and scales. Now, if it has scales, you know it has fins. But it doesn't mean, it's still, if you're talking about the, now again, conceptually, we don't really know what this means. But if you really want to understand conceptually why fish, what are the simanim of kosher fish, so you want to know that it's both scales and fins, even though scales would tell you practically it definitely has fins and you wouldn't really need it to be said in the Torah. But the conceptual framework of it needs scales and fins is still the case. It's just that having scales already means it has fins. So therefore, if you want to really understand it, you need to understand that it needs both scales and fins to understand why, you know, these are simanim of kosher fish.
Which, no, I'm sorry, it's also interesting that they didn't bring the last argument which they had, which is if something gets cut off. Do you remember that with the animals? Like that's, I don't know.
If something gets cut off,
yeah, like what if you find an animal that doesn't have one thing, the hooves? You remember? So maybe they could say that's why you needed both words.
Because maybe the scales, right.
Or the fins were cut off, but they don't use that argument.
Right, well, you would have to have the scales cut off.
For the fins.
No, because the whole thing is you could have just said scales, and then you'd know fins. Mm-hmm. So you're saying if the scales are not there, you wouldn't be able to determine, is it kosher? No, but if the scales are cut off and you don't know if they were there, then it wouldn't help you.
Well, but a young animal that doesn't have scales yet, which we talked about. But you need
right. Well, again, a young one, if you know it's going to develop, it's only kosher if you know it's going to develop scales. And if you know it's going to develop scales, then you know it necessarily has fins. So,
but the
still.
But doesn't work.
Right. So this is very similar to drosh v'kabel sachar, right? That the more you know, there's, it's just for pure knowledge sake and not really for any practical reason. Okay, Torah's not always practical. It's also for the sake of knowledge. Okay, another braita. Now we're going to darshan the psukim. I'm going to read you the psukim first so you see them inside. It goes like this. Okay, we're in Vayikra Yud Aleph, our perek, pasuk tet. Et zet tochlu mikol asher b'mayim. Kol asher lo snapir v'kaskeset b'mayim, b'yamim u'banechalim otam tochelu. I don't know if you paid attention, but there's a lot of things that repeat themselves here. First of all, it starts out, et zet tochlu. Okay, this is what you can eat. Mikol asher b'mayim, from anything in the water. Kol asher lo snapir v'kaskeset. Okay, that's not that's necessary. B'mayim. Okay, we already said b'mayim. B'yamim, in the seas. U'banichalim, and in the streams. That also seems a little unnecessary. Otam tochelu. Those you can eat. Now, it already started with etzet tochelu. So, okay, if you thought that was redundant, now we get to the next pasuk. B'kol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskeset b'yamim u'banechalim mikol sheretz ha'mayim u'kol nefesh ha'chaya asher b'mayim sheketz heim lachem v'sheketz yiyu lachem mibsaram lo tochelu v'latam tishaketzu. So what does it tell you now? If it doesn't have fins and scales and it's in the yamim and the nechalim, right, then it sheketz and you can't eat them. Well, didn't we know already from the first pasuk? Since you can eat this, you can't eat that, right? Why is it telling us both what you can eat and what you can't eat? They seems pretty obvious that if you have one pasuk, you can't eat this, then you know you can't eat. Or you can't eat this, you know you can't. So, here comes the bright. Mimashma shenemar echol et sheyesh lo, right? Eat whatever has fins and scales. Shome'ani al tocha. We already know we can't eat it if it doesn't. Et she'en lo. Umimashma shenemar al tocha et she'en lo. And once it says the second pasuk, don't eat what doesn't have fins and scales. Shomea ani echol et sheyesh lo. Basically, you could have had one pasuk without the other. V'lama shna'an, why does it repeat that? Lavor ala ba'aseh v'lo taseh. To tell you that, right, there's an aseh and a lo taseh. So if you eat a non-kosher fish, you weren't mekayem a mitzvah aseh, that's called bitul aseh, and you were over on a lo taseh. Tochlu mikol asher b'mayim. Now we're going to darshan more from that pasuk. So the braita continues and it says, so again it said, et zet tochlu mikol asher b'mayim. Okay, they skipped the etzeh in the beginning, in the quote here. Et zet tochlu mikol asher b'mayim. Ma tamud lamar. What's the point of saying this? Sheacho ho'il v'hitir b'mforash. Vihi tir bistam, okay, only in tomorrow's daf there's going to be a machloket about where he tir b'farash and where he tir bistam. He tir b'farash means it explicitly allowed it, and he tir bistam means it allowed it implicitly. In other words, it's not totally clear, it's not spelled out, it would be a better way of saying it. So it spelled out a heter in a particular way, and then in another place it didn't spell out a heter. Ma kashi tir b'farash lo hi tir ela b'kelim. So therefore we can assume that what they matired explicitly, they matired only in a vessel. What does this mean? This means if you have water in a vessel, what's the concern? Maybe there's some little microscopically small fish that you can't see. And maybe you can't eat water that's in a kli because maybe there'll be something in there that you're going to end up eating something non-kosher. Therefore, they said, no. In a vessel, you're allowed to drink water, and you don't have to worry that there's something in there that you can't notice that is forbidden to eat. So when they were matir b'kelim, b'mforash, ach shitir b'stam, lo itir ala b'kelim. So also, when he tir b'stam, they matir only in kelim. So again, the forash and stam, you'll get into tomorrow. But now they want to say like this. Minayin l'rabot borot shichinu ma'arot. How do we know that if you want to drink water from a bore, a pit, or from a shichin, a ditch, what's the difference? A pit is round, a ditch is rectangular shape, or ma'arot. Ma'arot is kind of like a ditch but covered, right? It has a roof above, or not exactly a roof, but right, it's a cave basically, and the opening is from the side as opposed to the opening being from the top. How do you know? They usually come in a category. We've seen them many times. How do you know that you can drink water that you find in a pit, a ditch, or a cave? That your sheshochem means you can bow down. V'shotemehen. V'eino nimna. How do we know? Because, right, what do we have? We have in a kli is mutar. We're now going to say not only, we're going to learn from the words etzeh tochlu, the etzeh is unnecessary, mikol asher b'mayim, is coming to teach you this heter that you can even drink water from a bor shechinu ma'arot, even without concern that you're going to end up eating some creature that's forbidden. Talmud lomar, tochlu mikol asher b'mayim. Okay, that's what that extra, remember I told you the pasuk said, right, etzeh tochlu, and then it said at the end, otam tochelu. So the extra wording there is coming to include this case, okay, which they're going to question after. Maybe you could have learned this case from somewhere else, but we'll get to that soon. Heichan hitir bekelim. So now, right, this was all based on the assumption that there's this heter to eat, drink water from a kli. How do we know this? Dichtiv, etzeh tochlu mikol asher b'mayim. Right, what does it say? I'll read the whole pasuk again. Which means, if you want to eat a fish that's in the yamim or nechalim, it has to have snapir v'kaskeset. However, if it's not in the yamim or nechalim, but it's in a kli, then you can eat it even if it doesn't have snapir v'kaskeset. Right? That means you can drink water from a kli and not worry that there's some little creature swimming in there that you can't notice. Okay? So, therefore they say, Bayamim ubanechalim, hu dechi it le echol, delet le lo techol, right? That's a case where it has to have snapir bakaskasa to allow it to be mutar. But delet le, but if it's not, right, and if it doesn't have them, lo techol, ha bekelim, one can infer from there that bekelim, even if it doesn't have, you can still eat them. So now they say, why would you say that that's the inference? Why don't you say the opposite inference? Ema, what would be the opposite? Maybe you say to the next pasuk, what does the next pasuk say? If it doesn't have snapir v'kaskeset, say the opposite. If it has snapir v'kaskeset, you from the yamim and echalim, you can eat it, right? But if it's in a kli, you can't even eat it, even if it has snapir v'kaskeset. Understand? Maybe you would go the opposite way of the inference, saying, kelim isn't mentioned here. Well, this is all a heter. The pasuk is telling you you're allowed to eat something. Right? Before we view the pasuk saying, you can only eat them if they have snapir v'kaskeset, if they come from the water. Hence, if it's not in the water, but in a kli, right? It's not in a body of water, but it's in a kli, you don't even need snapir v'kaskeset. Now they're saying maybe the opposite. If it has snapir v'kaskeset, you can eat it. If it's from the yam, but if it has snapir v'kaskeset, it's not in the yam, but it's in a kli, you can't eat it. Why don't you say that's the inference? Lo sal kadatav. It doesn't make sense to say that. Why? Dichtiv bechol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskeset bayamim ubenechalim mikol sheretz hamayim. Therefore, they say, what can we infer from here? Bayamim ubenechalim deleitle lo techol. Ha bekelim af agav deleitle echol. They just assume that it means, right? Kol asher lo snapir v'kaskeset, right? Mikol sheretz hamayim, you can do it. It's bayamim ubenechalim. If it doesn't have, you can't eat. Therefore, in a kli, right? Again, it's not exactly proving it. It's just saying this is a better way to darshan it. Therefore, if it's in a kli, even if it doesn't have simanim, you should be able to eat it. Ve'ema b'mayim. Now, why don't you say like this, though? Now they're going to suggest, okay, there's a few different ways to understand this question. Rashi understands this question that we're saying, until now, what have we said? The words etzetochlu, right, are coming to tell you, etzetochlu bayamim and all that. Etzetochlu comes to teach you not only kelim, right? Kelim are obvious from the pasuk, but not only that, the etzetochlu comes to teach you also borot shichinu maharot are like kelim. Right, they're from a bor, because a bor shechinu ma'arot is a little in between, right? Because it usually comes from some body of water, as opposed to a kli, which is already not even in the ground anymore. Right, these are in the, attached to the ground, and those are not. So now they say, okay, according to Rashi, this is the way to read it. Afterwards, I'm going to tell you another way to explain the question. Ve'ema, why would you need to darshan it from there? Why wouldn't you say like this? Bimayim klal, biyamim ubenechalim prat. Why don't we read this pasuk as a klalu prat? I told you we get back to the klalu prat. We'd have another thing about a klalu prat. So here we have, right? Etzeh tochlu mikol asher b'mayim kol asher lo sapir v'kaskeset. B'mayim, b'yamim u'b'nechalim. So mayim there before yamim u'nechalim is a klal. Yamim u'nechalim is a prat. Klalu prat ein b'chlal ala masha b'prat. Yamim u'nechalim in ni'itzim v'charitzim lo. Okay, so what do they say here? This should just be, we should learn Barod and Shichim from a Klalu Prat. In which case do you need Snapir v'Kaskeset? Only in Yamim u'Nechalim. But Ni'itzim v'Charitzim, which are water channels and trenches, no. Right? You wouldn't need it. Meaning, you'd be allowed to eat it without, you'd be allowed to drink water and not worry about eating Dagim that don't have Simanim. Notice, though, it doesn't use the word barot shechinu ma'arot, right? The assumption is then, well, if ni'itzim and charitzim, right, let's put them in order. We have kli, barot shechinu ma'arot, then we have ni'itzim and charitzim, because there the water is still flowing, and then we get to yamim and neharot, which are much bigger bodies of water. So therefore, if ni'itzim and charitzim lo, obviously barot shechinu ma'arot. Some people say that actually the question is, why were ni'itzim and charitzim excluded? Excluded from the snapir and kaskeset in the first drasha. There's a question on the first drasha when they said barot shechinu ma'arot, why wouldn't they have also said ni'itzim and charitzim? Okay, that's another possible way of reading the question. Anyway, we could stick with Rashi, meaning it's unnecessary. So what do they answer? Bimayim chazar v'kalal. Oh wait, mayim appears there twice in the pasuk. Therefore, this isn't a klalu prat, which means it has to be very, very similar to the prat. If you use this limu, what would you get to? Klal upratu klal, which means anything that's like the klal, the prat, which means yamim and naharot, might also include ni'itzim and charitzim, and possibly even barot shechinu marot. And that's why we needed our drasha, etzetochlu, because from etzetochlu, it would be clear it's excluding that barot shechinu marot or like kelim. But if we had the klal uprat klal, we might get to a different conclusion, and we might think that barot shechinu ma'arot are like the yamim, because again, once we have klal uprat klal, it includes many more things. Now, there's a bit of a problem with the klal uprat klal. What's the problem? Look at the pasuk again. Etzeh tochlu mikol asher b'mayim. That's one, right? We're going to darshan mayim twice is the klal. So how does the pasuk go? B'mayim, there's a klal. There's another klal. Bayamim ubenechalim is a prat. That's klal, klalu prat. That's not klalu pratu klal. I don't know if you remember this, we had this before, and we answered the same question they're going to answer. So it's good to review. So what do they say here? Hane tre klale dismiche lehadadininu. But these are two klalim that are next to each other. It's a klal, klalu prat, and not a klal, pratu klal. So Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Kede Amar B'marav, as they say in Eretz Yisrael, Kol makom she'ata motzei shnei klalot hasmuchin ze lazeh, if you have two klalim next to each other, with a prat, obviously, hatel prat b'nehem v'dunam b'klal u'prat u'klal. Okay? You can actually do that. Okay? You can move it in between. So now the Gemara suggests, though, still, you could say, b'klal b'mayim, b'klal u'prat u'klal, b'mayim klal, b'yamim u'b'nechalim prat, b'mayim chazar b'kalal, klal u'prat u'klal, yatadan ela ke'en ha'prat. Ma prat before ashmayim nuv'im, av kol mayim nuv'im. So now they say, no, even if you use a klal u'prat u'klal, you still could have said it excludes barot shechinu ma'arot, because barot shechinu ma'arot, and it has to be similar to the yamim and the nechalim. In what way is it similar? Well, what typifies the yamim and nechalim? The water's moving, right? Whereas in barot shechinu ma'arot, the water's not moving, it's stationary. So my rabbe, so if we're going to include something additional, what will we include? Remember, we said there was this lit, right, the order, the scale. Well, rabbe charitzim v'niitzim le'isura, umay mi'et barot shechinu ma'aro lehetera. So again, you would come to the conclusion that you wouldn't need etzet ochlu, because you really could learn it from a klal u'prat u'klal, because we're only going to include mayim nov'im, which will include ni'itzim and charitzim, but it's going to exclude barot shechinu ma'aro. So now they say ve'ema maha pram beforash mayim delim agabe karka av kol mayim delim agabe karka. So now they say no, because the prat, what would define it? You wouldn't say mayim novim. What would you say? Mayim that's attached to the ground, and borot shechinu ma'arot are still mayim that's attached to the ground, and therefore, if you had the klal u'prat u'klal, you could still include the borot shechinu ma'arot, and that's why again we go back to you need this drasha et zeh tochlu. Okay, umay rabbe. Afilu barot shechinu ma'arot li'isura, umay mi'eit kelim, right? And then what would you say? The klal u'prat u'klal is coming to say, yes, barot shechinu ma'arot, if you has to have stampir b'kas keset, but kelim, it wouldn't be. And im ken, tochlu, right, imken tochlu mayahanele. Okay, so then they're going to say that's why we need that it kind of ends in a question, but what it's saying is that's why we needed etzet tochlu in order to teach us, since you, if you had the klal u'prat u'klal, you might have thought that barot shechinu ma'arot are going to be like yamim and nechalim. Therefore, etzet tochlu comes to teach you, no, barot shechinu ma'arot are like kelim. And therefore, you can drink water from, okay, thankfully for all of us, yeah, it's very common that we go and drink water from a bore. No, not exactly. But anyway, if one wants to eat. Now, by the way, I noticed there was this discussion. If you remember the other day, there was something about an istinis, and if he's discussed, as long as he's a nefesh, what did it say? Nefesh yafer or something. If he's not disgusted by it, he can eat it. Right? If the hen sat on the egg for a very long time, there was this, actually didn't explain this so well. I realized after what it meant. It meant that if the hen was on the egg for a very long time and you were worried that the egg was spoiled already, but it was actually just before the blood. It didn't really have to do with blood. But if, as long as you're not an Easternist, when a person is disgusted by that kind of thing, it's actually kosher, right? It might be disgusting. If you're disgusted by something, then it's midin shek, bal tishak tzu. You can't do something that you find disgusting. Then it's forbidden for other reasons. Okay, so here also, if you're disgusted by it, if you go to drink water, which is the way I would think, right? If you go to drink water and there's really a chashash that there's little fish in there, right? That would be disgusting, and then we wouldn't be able to eat it for other reasons. But technically speaking, if you weren't disgusted by it, it's actually not a problem of kashrut.